Benedict Arnold was not just any traitor. His very name has become synonymous with treason. But was he a hero as well? That's what James Kirby Martin says in this week's op-ed. Martin, distinguished university professor of history at the University of Houston, is the author of Benedict Arnold, Revolutionary Hero, An American Warrior Reconsidered.
This year, as we celebrate our nation's founding, we also recall the pantheon of heroes that made our independence possible. We think of Washington, of Jefferson, of Franklin, and of Samuel and John Adams, but certainly not Benedict Arnold, that infamous traitor to the cause of American liberty. For more than two centuries now, the worst of all human characteristics have been attributed to Arnold. Just as Washington has come to epitomize the self-sacrificing citizen whose virtue and selfless behavior resulted in American independence, Arnold has come to represent all that is selfish and evil in humanity because he forsook the great cause of liberty and returned his allegiance to the British. But was Arnold really that bad? And was the American cause truly that pure? Let's consider these questions. If Arnold was that bad, how could he have been so fervent a patriot when the war began in 1775? Why did Arnold repeatedly give us his all, short of life itself, over three campaign seasons that involved the Patriot invasion of Canada and a brilliant defense of Lake Champlain? Why did he so quickly earn so substantial a reputation for his military skills, not only as a strategist and tactician, but as a leader of troops in battle? Arnold's record of patriot service was impressive indeed, and it all came together when he marshaled his fighting prowess and leadership abilities to engineer the magnificent American victory after two major battles at Saratoga in 1777. That triumph in turn produced the all-critical formal alliance with France that in the end proved too formidable a martial partnership for British forces and diplomacy to overcome. Yet even as Arnold fought and bled, he was losing his respect for the cause of American liberty. Disillusionment started to set in as he suffered two devastating battlefield wounds that all but destroyed his health. Then there were the wrangling politicians in the Continental Congress who, to favor with high military rank mediocrities from their own states, denied him promotions he had fully earned, if merit, of course, had any meaning. Nor could Arnold deal with small-minded patriots who expressed their jealousy about his martial talents and his favoritism among the likes of Washington by repeatedly damning his good name. On top of this, Arnold drew freely from his own purse to support the patriot cause. But revolutionary governments, always short of cash, were loath to repay him. What sort of glorious cause was this, Arnold began to ask. Was it really better than what he had known under British rule? Once fully disillusioned, Arnold would return to his natural British allegiance. And he also set out to destroy the very cause to which he had given so much. He did so because he could not accept the impurities that were so very real a part of the cause of liberty, and in the process he forever sacrificed his place in the pantheon of American heroes. After his apostasy, an associate warned Arnold that if Patriot troops ever captured him, they would likely, and I quote, cut off that leg of yours wounded at Quebec and at Saratoga and bury it with all the honors of war and then hang you on a gibbet, end quote. I would hope you would join me today in remembering, if even for a moment, Arnold's horribly mangled leg, and I hope you will do so because of the valuable role its tainted bearer played in securing those liberties that have become the enduring hallmark of political freedom in the United States.
You've been listening to James Kirby Martin, author of Benedict Arnold, Revolutionary Hero, An American Warrior Reconsidered.